Hello and welcome to the Special Science Podcast from the 2008 AAAS Annual Meeting in Boston, Massachusetts. It's February 17th. I'm Robert Frederick. In this short podcast, we'll hear from Science Now editor David Graham with a wrap-up of some of the many stories here at the AAAS meeting. Hi, David.
Hey, Rob.
So I know you've been blogging from the meeting this time.
Yep.
Who's been contributing?
Yeah, well, we've had a bunch of people here from Science Magazine covering a lot of different aspects of the meeting. We've had reporters going to sessions and some of the talks that have been going on at night, and even just meeting people in the hall and finding out their stories, why they're at the meeting and what they're getting out of it.
About how many postings are you guys putting up a day?
Well, yesterday we put up 10, and the day before we put up 11. So we're really doing some extensive coverage of the meeting.
And we talked on Thursday, you had already 5 up by then. But we really don't have time to talk about 26 different postings at this point. So which ones have you brought with you to talk about today?
Well, Rob, I'll just talk about some of my favorites and briefly touch on some of the others. And one of the sessions I really liked was something that we blogged about on Friday, which is about how scientists can run for their local school boards to ensure that science gets a fair shake in the classroom.
Because that's how textbooks are chosen in the U.S. anyway.
Right, that's how textbooks are chosen and how the curriculum in general is written.
Were there any particular examples of what scientists could do?
Well, they had a couple representatives, one from a school board in Illinois and one from a school board in Arkansas, and both of these people were also scientists, and they basically gave some examples of what you needed to do if you wanted to run for your local school board, things like how to raise the money and how to get the votes and what sort of platform you should run on. And it was really interesting because although they say this is a good way, obviously, to influence science policy, one of the guys that spoke said in the entire 8 years he had been on the school board, only once did he really deal with a creationist issue, which is why a lot of people in the audience were there. They were interested in this conflict between creationists on the school board and scientists on the school board. And this was an issue that dealt with some parents objected to the schools having activities on Darwin Day, and there was a little bit of a fight about that. But he said, actually, most of the time you're dealing with very mundane issues, how money is allocated and buying school equipment and overseeing personnel and things like that. But they say if you really do want to play a role in science education in schools, run for the school board.
Because there really isn't any other way, is there?
Well, it's the most direct way.
Well, what's next?
Well, here's another item that also deals with education, science education. And it deals with the president of the Boston Museum of Science, who spoke here on Thursday night. And the theme of his talk is, what would the world be like without engineering? And he made a few funny comments about how there wouldn't be the chairs we were sitting on or the microphones he was speaking on if there wasn't engineering. But in a more serious tone, he talked about science education and the need for not just more science in the classroom, but more technology education in the classroom.
Why was that? Why isn't there technology education in the classroom?
Well, it's kind of funny because, as our reporter wrote, in the late 19th century, there was really no need to teach technology in the classroom because a lot of kids were getting this technology education, as it were, at home because they were working on farms and they had to deal with technology in their daily lives. So there was no need to teach it in schools. But now there is. And as the president of the Boston Museum of Science said, how often does a kid find himself in a volcano as opposed to a car? His point being that we need to make sure that there's a good balance of teaching technology versus other kinds of science in the classroom to make sure kids are well-rounded on that front.
So not just the science, but the application of it.
Exactly.
What else have you got?
Well, some of my favorite stories from the meeting have been these personal encounters our reporters have had with people, either after their sessions or even in the hallway. Well, one of these encounters was with a sociologist who studies the psychological impact of natural disasters. And she actually was speaking to our reporter about the tsunami that happened in Southeast Asia in December of 2004. And this woman was telling our reporter about how she was just amazed about the resilience of the people in this region. She had gone to visit this region very shortly after the tsunami and saw just devastation everywhere she looked. But when she came back a few years later, people had rebuilt their houses, they had a lot of hope, and she just said she was impressed with sort of the resilience of the people in this area and how they could, at least in terms of the human spirit, how they could recover so quickly. And our reporters have had interesting contacts with other people. If you go on the blog, you'll see that one of our reporters found 5 things that you may not know about the incoming AAAS president, James McCarthy, and 5 things you may not know about Jim Hansen, who's a very famous climate scientist. So some little personal details about some of the people that are here. And actually, the same reporter talked to a few Mars scientists and got them to cough up their favorite Mars photos. So we've got a couple of really cool Mars photos on the blog that actual researchers have chosen as some of their favorites from the Red Planet.
As I understand it, this is sort of the first time that Science Now has exclusively done its news coverage as a blog. Are there particular characteristics of the blog that are making you feel like this is the way to do it, like these personal stories that you're getting?
Exactly, like these personal stories. The nice thing about the blog is that we're not just limited to just doing hard news stories. We can get these personal interactions with people, like I just talked about in the hallway. And we can also just round up a bunch of cool facts. Like, for instance, one of our reporters found out about the oldest organism in the sea, which is a coral. And you can find out more about it by checking out the blog and seeing some really nice pictures of it. And just finding out other interesting facts, like using satellite photos to document human rights abuses and to spy on ships that are doing trawling of the ocean bottom, which really impacts ocean ecosystems. So a lot of cool little tidbits that we can sort of gather here and there that we don't have to make a full news story out of, but we can just share as they come up. And that's one of the really nice advantages of blogging the meeting rather than just covering the meeting just as Science Now articles.
So lots more tips, news, fun facts, and news stories coming out throughout the rest of the meeting?
Yep, stay tuned.
David Grimm is the editor of Science Now, the free online daily news service of science. You can check out the latest stories, plus get regular updates and fun facts, news stories, and personal stories at sciencenow.sciencemag.org. You can also check out the full range of AAAS and Science Magazine coverage at www.aaas.org/go/news. This has been a special science podcast from the 2008 AAAS Annual Meeting in Boston, Massachusetts. The show is a production of Science Magazine and of AAAS, the Science Society. Jeffrey Cook composed the music, and I'm Robert Frederick. On behalf of Science Magazine and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for joining us.